Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti on the updates. We're going to have a fun one today. I'm in a good mood, which whatever mood I'm in should not dictate the show. I should be professional enough to not let you know what kind of mood I'm in. Either we're having fun or it's a little like vibrant. You know, I get fired up sometimes. Whatever. It should be baseline kind of consistent. It should be that. I don't know that it necessarily is. But what I want to say is I am in a good mood, like in the context of my life. I feel like I had a productive day. I had a nice soccer practice. I'm coaching my kid and a bunch of his buddies, and there's a clear and obvious improvement over where they are now from where they were in the fall, and that makes me excited for them. So that is fun. I had Culver's for dinner, which is very good if you're able to get buy one. That's delicious.
It was awesome.
So there's a lot about like just my life in and of itself. That was pleasurable. It was a fine day. I will look back on this day many years from now as I'm in my old rocking chair thinking, oh, I remember April 22nd, 2025. Earth Day, of course, but also it was a good day. Fan-wise, the things that I root for, I'm having a hard time with two things. And one, folks, we may have to do this because I think the buildup in me is getting so strong that I do need to release it via my words, is the frustrations I'm having with wrestling. So I'll make sure, for the sake of everybody, it's one of the shorter segments so that if you're into it, it's like, hey, I wish I could have had more. And if you don't like it, I won't take up too much of your time. But I'm very upset with what has happened to the WWE that I love. And I'm very upset with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, specifically. I'm upset with him. I'm also upset with the Milwaukee Bucks, as they have just lost game two of the series to the Indiana Pacers. 123 to 115. So we've got three playoff games tonight in the NBA. The Thunder beat up again on Memphis, although took it a little easy compared to the 51 points they scored on them the other day, 118 to 99. So Oklahoma City is a 2-0 lead. The Lakers take on the Timberwolves tonight. They're going to need to show some more aggression coming up here if they want to even that series. And then the Indiana Pacers have to be feeling pretty good about the 2-0 lead that they have built up on the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that really does not threaten them, a team that does not scare them. So I'm always very cautious when I'm talking about one of my teams. I don't want to just make this a Milwaukee Bucks segment, but I do want to frame it in a way that I think is relatable to fans of any sport, of any team, is the frustration of watching the same thing over and over and over again. Some of the faces might change, some of the names might change, but you're essentially watching the same thing over again. I can think of the Buffalo Bills. We're going to have a great year. Josh Allen's going to turn a lot of heads. We're going to lose to the Chiefs. I can think of the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to overperform. We're going to be over 500. we're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. It's the same kind of repetition over and over and over. And I think Yankees fans, you know, in the last decade, maybe New York Yankees fans have gone through it. We're going to be great. We're going to get far. Might even get back to a World Series. Certainly not going to win. It's not in the cards for us at this point. What I have a hard time with in that is then going through it again just to get back to that spot. And that's where I feel about the Milwaukee Bucks. So just what the Bucks have done, and they won a championship a few years ago, which thank God. Thank God. Since then, they went to the conference semifinals and lost to Boston. And that was a series where they were doing pretty well, but then Chris Middleton got hurt. So then at that point, you're like, okay, this is a team that minimum should get to the playoffs at minimum, but to the conference semifinals. This is where we need to get back to. I need to get back to this spot before I can start investing myself fully again. Because then the regular season becomes a practice in repetition. It becomes, I just did this. Where's the reprieve? Where's the break here? I can't enjoy the journey if I'm just trying to get back to that one spot so that I can restart my journey. I use a video game analogy a lot. Now you can save the game at any point and, you know, thank goodness. But when I grew up, like if I put in Mario and I got to level 8, world 8, and I ran out of lives, I didn't get to start at the beginning of World 8. I had to start at the beginning of the game. And sure, you find out where like the magical pipes are that transport you from level 1 to level 4 or whatever. And it, you know, if you find the right pipe, you get to skip that awful water level. But you got to go through it all again. And you're not as focused, you're not as into it. It's like, this is so stupid. I'm just trying to get back to where I was. And that's how I feel a lot of times in sports. That's how I felt a lot with the Green Bay Packers in the Aaron Rodgers era, where the season didn't really start until the divisional round of the playoffs. Yeah, there's highs and lows and exciting wins and tough losses, but really you don't get invested until you're back at that point. That's another reason why I try to tell people that if they're a 9-8 football team or a 85 win baseball team, the year after they were a 4-win football team or a 63 win baseball team, those years are much more fun. Those years become much more fun after a bad year than being a team that's expected to go places and then just falling right back into the trash can. It's not as fun. You don't enjoy the ride, a phrase that is overused, but you don't enjoy the ride as much because you understand the ride. Just like if you go on a road trip and your brain, you're supposed to do this. If you go to work the same route every day, I was going to say doctors will tell you. I don't know who will tell you, but someone will tell you, take a different route. Because then your brain like refocuses. If you're doing a road trip and you got to drive 6 miles or six hours, try to just take a different route. Do something different. Then it becomes a little more fun. It's not as tedious. It's not as boring. It's not the same. For me, these last 4 Bucks seasons have felt the same. Where in 2022, they went to the conference semifinals, lost to the Celtics. In 2023... they went to the first round, lost to the Heat, and there was another injury, this time Giannis. In 2024, Giannis was hurt, and then Damian Lillard also got hurt after changing coaches and trading for Dame. Another first-round exit. And now it's the same team with a similar record as a year ago, and you're down 2-0 to the Indiana Pacers. It's just the same. It's the same, the same, the same. The last 4 years have been the same. And I find a hard time as a sports fan in that process. That's harder for me than anything, because I want to enjoy it all. I want to enjoy the regular season. I want to enjoy the twists and turns. I want to enjoy the ups and downs. But I can't really get invested until they get past the point that I last saw them exit a year ago. And not only can they not get past the point, but it feels the exact same. Now, the series is only 2-0. It shifts back to Milwaukee on Friday. We'll see what happens. But in these games that we've seen, the Bucks team is bad. I don't think that roster-wise, they are worse than Indiana's roster. I don't believe that. They are playing like it. They are playing worse. I don't think Indiana's that good. And maybe I just refuse to believe it. But I don't think they are that good. I think the Bucks have a better roster. But Indiana is far and away, no debate about it, playing much better basketball. They're getting contributions from all of their guys. Every starter tonight at least 15 points. Siakam, 24. Naismith, 16. Turner, 15. Nembhard, 17. Haliburton, 21. The Bucks starters were like they were the other night. Giannis does all the work. 34, 18, and 7. Brooke Lopez, 8 points. Taurean Prince, 6 points. Kuzma, at least, was alive, 12 points. Damian Lillard, who came back from a blood clot, played 37 minutes. Which I don't really know how that works. And when he's able to come back or not. And so I shouldn't speak on it. But I will say, coming back from your first game where you couldn't play and then playing 37 minutes seems like either you played him way too much or he maybe could have played sooner. I don't know. I can't comment on it because I didn't know. And I don't know. I just think that's a lot. The Pacers are also committing sins against the league by wearing their alternate uniforms with their alternate court. I understand like the need to have alternate jerseys as much as the next guy. But this is the playoffs, man. We got it. It's got to look somewhat traditional. The court, I was watching with my family, and my wife's like, why some of that gray and some of the other part a different gray? I go, I have no idea. And whatever the answer is, can't be a good one. Looks stupid. Tyrese Haliburton, I would be embarrassed to root for him publicly. I don't like this guy. He's screaming into a basketball, I think, today. He's going, wah, when they're up 6 in the beginning of the first quarter. I think he might be evil. He scares me. I don't like him. And he's from Wisconsin. And he used to go to Bucks games. And then he says, I actually went to root for the other team. Okay. Why are you lying? That's so stupid. So I'm upset. I'm in a bad mood because of that. I'm in a bad mood. This is not the first time I've come on the air after my team has lost a big game or my team has lost a playoff game. I'm not even sure. Are there any times I come on the air when my team has won a playoff game? It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like I'm ever able to come on the air and celebrate anything. I'm always talking about, the thing I like sucks. The thing I pour my heart and soul into has disappointed me again. I'm happy to share in your joys and your triumphs as we continue to watch these games. This is part of the time slot. I'm on when the games are ending. There's going to be people upset. there's going to be people that are joyous. I just feel like I'm always on the upset side, and I don't like it. Also, really gnawing at me is a whole nother day of media talking about how if the Bucks get bounced from the playoffs, Giannis is out. It all feels the same. It all feels the same. And I'm getting tired of it. Thankfully, we have an NFL draft coming up as a nice distraction, although I'm sure I'll be let down there too. One team who I think is probably feeling similar feelings to me is the Jacksonville Jaguars, where every season feels kind of similar. They did make an AFC Championship game not too long ago, and I think got screwed out of that one. Remember that back in 2017 against the Patriots? Thought that could have been a team to make it to the Super Bowl. But since then, they've been 5-11, 6-10, 1-15, 3-14, 9-8 a couple of times, and then back to 4-13. So when are they ever going to get to that point where they were right on the cusp? We will talk to JP Shadrick. He will join us to talk Jacksonville as they've become a big story this week with what they might do at the 5. Suddenly, it seems like all options are on the table. That coming up momentarily. Plenty of other NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL to discuss throughout the night. You know the phone number by now, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Are we going to see the thing that the mock drafts have been telling us we're going to see at pick number 5? Or is that where the draft gets interesting? We'll talk Jacksonville Jaguars in a couple minutes as we try to figure out, 2 days away now from the NFL draft, how this thing is going to shake out. Again, 888-710-4ISN. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz as we follow the NBA and the NHL and all the baseball action. We also divert a lot of our attention to the NFL draft coming up in a couple of days. We'll be there with coverage. NFL draft previews brought to you by Ego. Tools that deliver or exceed the power and performance of gas without the noise, fuss, and fumes for any outdoor challenge. Count on Ego. These are tools to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. Ego power beyond belief. So the draft has been interesting in terms of us looking at the mocks. We don't really know what's going to happen. Cam Ward's going number 1 to the Titans. Travis Hunter seems like number 2 to the Browns. I'm still thinking Shadur to the Giants. I'm holding out hope on the 5-1 odds. Other guys, it could be Abdul Carter. Patriots, you know, it seems like a lineman there. The Jaguars, it's going to be Mason Graham for sure. But that's what we've been thinking. And then this week, there's been a lot of, maybe not. Maybe totally not. And so to get into the specifics of what's going on in the latest and where Jacksonville might go, we talked to JP Shadrick, senior reporter with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Also find him on Westwood One. I'll get into that question in a moment. And JP, thanks for coming back on with us. This is a different Jaguars team in terms of specifically the front office, where you've got Liam Cohen at the age of 39 as the new coach. You've got James Gladstone at the age of 34 as the general manager. In the short time that they've been there, that you've been able to see them and hear from them and see what's going on, how different should Jacksonville fans expect this iteration of Jaguars football to be?
Yeah, it's a great question because we really haven't seen it in action yet. I mean, it's hard to go any more opposite than what they've tried to do the last couple of times around with the leadership here, right? I mean, you know, a couple of iterations ago, it was Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell was the GM. He was the young GM at the time, portrayed on that the movie, the Draft Day movie, right? That seems like a generation ago now, almost, with everything that's happened. And then the Urban Meyer situation happened. And then Doug Peterson comes in, a guy who's been in the league forever as a player and had just kind of that old school kind of player mentality about a lot of the ways he went about his business, which worked for him in one place, but it didn't really work out here. And then, okay, now let's just switch it up and go with a younger mindset. And everybody kind of, I would hope by now, knows the James Gladstone story. He's been with L.A., with the Rams for a long time, worked his way up, and then worked his way into really kind of leading the pre-draft effort for the Rams. And there are a couple of iterations where they didn't have picks. They traded them all away, and then they had picks and had to rebuild with those later round picks. And he was a central figure in that happening, and then the real quick rise now of Liam Cohen into the head coaching job. So it's a younger, energetic, more a little more energy, right? It's a little different energy, let's say. So the question is, how does it look on draft day? I mean, who knows, right? Are they going to be aggressive and try to move back? Are they picking, you know, star players? Are they picking linemen? Tony Boselli's involved in the front office now as well, the Hall of Fame tackle. So that's all in play here. So we're going to find out in a couple days' time. But so far, I mean, they're all saying the right things, but you got to go draft the right things. That's the big trick.
Well, they got pick number 5. I mean, if you're a new front office and, you know, you want to have, like, resources and you want to have a good team and you want to have some solid foundation to build on, you also want assets and you want to be able to make your imprint with those assets, and pick number 5 is a nice little asset to have. And again, I talk a lot about the mock drafts. I talk a lot about what we expect. I think there's a part of it that's useful. I think there's also a part of it that people are just kind of putting stuff out there to see what they can get engagement on. There's also people are telling people to put them there so that the teams can trick the other team. So we don't know. What's just been interesting this week is that it does seem like Jacksonville is getting a little more attention on a national level, and in the fact of, hey, we don't actually know what they're going to do. And some of these guys, whether it's, you know, Tet McMillan at wide receiver, whether it's Ashton Jeanty, who everybody thinks is going to be a Raider, whether it's one of these guys on offense, like, let's not just assume we're going to have a defensive player. Is there a more likely outcome that you can gather, or at least one that maybe the fans would be more eager to see with this team that they thought they were getting close a couple of times in the last few years, and now it's kind of back at square one?
Right. And, you know, the times that the Jaguars have had the number 5 pick, think about what they, now this is different iterations of the leadership, right? Dustin Blackman was the number 5 pick. They traded up for him. Superstar player, didn't pan out. Leonard Fournette was that. Good player, didn't pan out here, won a Super Bowl in Tampa later. Jalen Ramsey, the proper pick at number 5. You're looking for that superstar, gold jacket type player is what you want in the top 5, right? And the question is, are there players outside of the kind of 2 premier skill guys that everybody's talking about in Carter and Hunter? Jags don't need a quarterback right now. You know, if those 4 are gone, well, then what? Then it's wide open. Who is that next guy that is the best overall talent? Is Mason Graham that? That's the guy that has been mocked, you know, throughout this whole offseason, it feels like, until as of late. I don't know. Who knows, right? Is that a sexy pick? Not necessarily. Is a tackle a sexy pick? You know, not necessarily. And they have tackles right now. They got a first-round pick at right tackle. They've got Walker Little at left tackle, who's got a couple years left on a new contract. So, like, they've got the tackles in place. They can go play right now. That's the feel. So, for me, it's the next best offensive weapon for the quarterback, for an offensive-minded head coach, for everything that would help this offense move. And this is, I think, for me, this is where I would, you know, if Jeanty's there, they've got running backs, with Travis Etienne's in the final year, 5th year of his rookie contract. He's on the 5th year option this year. So, you know, what's the long-term play for him? They didn't draft him. So, okay, is you know, Jeanty that guy? Or do you want a basketball team on the outside? Because you got Brian Thomas Jr. at one wide receiver spot, Gabe Davis, if he's healthy, which he should be this year, at another receiver spot, And then if McMillan is that guy, then that's a basketball team you're running out there. You're out jumping everybody in the gym down the field. So I think those are, to me, would be kind of the options there. If Genty's there, okay, run game, balance the offense, then you're throwing it up to BTJ and those guys. So, I don't necessarily think Graham's a slam dunk or an offensive lineman. As of right now, I think it's somebody to really jumpstart this offense and give Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohen, and the play callers all these options.
Well, that's one of the things that's so interesting about where Jacksonville's at right now, talking with J.P. Shadrick about the Jags, is you've got a new head coach and you've got a quarterback that's been there for a few years that maybe hasn't reached the level of success that we thought he might at this point, but he is not going anywhere anytime soon. You are building this to make sure that this is the coach that's going to make it work with this quarterback. So, yeah, build some weapons around him, see what you can get out of that. I just think that a lot of times there was the old adage that, you get 3 years. If you're a coach or whatever, you get 3 years. And we're seeing team after team, year after year, kind of say, no, we need results sooner. Is Jacksonville ready to be patient with a new GM, new coach? It's going to be the quarterback. He's not going anywhere. Are they going to be patient, or are we going to want results, and we're going to want results quickly?
Yeah, everybody wants them fairly quick, right? I mean, this is not a full total rebuild, right? We've seen that around here before where they've just broken it down to the studs and it's a rookie team and they just have no chance, right? Well, this team's got a chance. I mean, they've been in games even last season, right? And they just couldn't figure out a way to finish it. So they have some parts. They have some pieces, certainly on the offensive side. Do they have a bunch of superstars on either side of the ball? No. But they have some on offense. You have a quarterback you're going to build around. Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be a star. The right tackle is a first-round pick. He hasn't really lived up to the full expectation yet. A couple years in, give him a little time. Let's see if that changes. And if they move him around, too, they could move him to left tackle, too. They like the tight end, Brenton Strange. Is he a superstar? I don't know. So they need more of those type players. Those are the players that there was the Eagles game last year. Saquon Barkley is a star, right? And Devontae Smith, those guys made a couple plays in that game. It wasn't that big of a difference, but they made game-changing plays. And this is a team that just doesn't have a lot of those guys right now on the offensive side to match that. So, in my opinion, you got to keep up with that. And then if you have a couple guys, like the Rams, right, in their, Super Bowl run, name me anybody on defense besides Donald and Jalen Ramsey in that team, right? You only need a couple guys there if you have the offense to go play. So I think that's the mindset here. That's my opinion. I don't know how, really the division is gettable, right? I mean, Houston's the team you got to chase. They're the one that has the weaponry on both sides of the ball. If you can kind of match with them and then build to win this division, then you get a little bit of time. And I think there'll be some time. Patience is thin around here anyway, no matter what year it is, because there hasn't been a lot of success. But, they're going to have a couple years to really get this thing right, because, as you said, the quarterback's here for a long time to come. He's got like 5 more years left. So he's not going anywhere. The coach is not going anywhere for a while. GM's locked in. Get this thing right, and let's see if they can win some football games.
Again, we don't know, really what to expect with Gladstone, his first, time doing this, especially in Jacksonville, and with Liam Cohen. They've got 10 picks. I guess, would you be more surprised if they kind of stayed steady with those 10 picks? Like, we got 10 picks, so we're picking where we're picking. Or would you be more surprised if they just moved around a bunch, tried to play the board a little bit, see what they could exploit, maybe draft more than 10 guys? They still, even if they go weapon first, they could use a little more on the defense. So strength in numbers may not be a bad thing. Which scenario might surprise you more?
That's a good one. I mean, they got 10 picks this year currently. They've got 11 picks next year currently as well, in 2026. So keep that in mind if you're trying to bundle some things and try to move up in a couple of spots. okay, there's some ammo from next year's draft that they could play with if there's a certain type of guy they need to try to move up and get. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, they're dialing around for Hunter, right? I mean, you can dial around all you want. The answer might be no, right, at number two or whatever, the Browns there, right? But you never know with this. That's the thing. Previous groups have traded back. I mean, Trent Baalke wanted to trade back. He traded back twice before he got Brian Thomas Jr. in the first round last year. And then was like, hey, this is the guy we wanted all along. Well, okay, well, they added some picks as it went. That was just the way he went about it. He'd been doing it for, you know, 10, 12, 13 years. Well, there's no real true track record of James pulling the trigger, James Gladstone. So you don't know. Is he willing to roll the dice and move up and try to get a guy and mortgage some things? Or are we going to be conservative and just play it as it lies or trade back and get extras? I mean, that you just don't really know. And that's the real fun about this draft this season for the Jaguars, because you just don't have any track record at all. Everybody is so new at it. And the whole front office is new at it. The only ones that have been through it are the ownership. You know, they've been through it in so many different ways. It's like, hey guys, we hired you now. Let's figure out a consensus of how to really do this the Jaguar way. Whatever that is, we're about to find out.
Well, and with Trent Baalke, that was what was so interesting about the start of this offseason was it seemed like they were keeping him, and then they didn't keep him. What happened there?
Yeah, well, it's a fair question, right? I mean, because they fired Doug Peterson and then went through the first wave of interviews with Trent Baalke involved in them. I think they interviewed like 8 or 10 guys. I mean, it was a lot. And then Mr. Khan, the owner, said, hey, we reevaluated it after the fact and decided to send Baalke off. And then that's when they came back around with Cohen, got him to come back out of Tampa, and that's really kind of how it went. They went through the first wave and then realized, hey, it's probably a time to make a move. That's really what it was. Now, I will say, there were a couple different drafts where Baalke, yes, traded back that one time, but he also traded back in at one point to get Devin Lloyd, right? So, like, they did a couple different ways strategically. There are different ways to go about it. But that was the story with Baalke, and it just kind of felt like that run had come to an end, and there was really not going to be a way to move forward in that setup, you know, considering the first wave of interviews and how they went.
Well, it's going to be a different draft entirely. It's going to be an exciting draft. They got number 5 for now. We'll see how things shake out.
We'll see.
We're in we'll see season right now these last couple of days. JP, a pleasure. We'll make sure to do it again. You be well and enjoy the draft.
Talk soon, guys. You too. Appreciate it.
JP Shadrick joining us here on the Bart Winkler Show as Jacksonville picking number 5 in this draft. Mason Graham, defensive lineman, Michigan. You look at any mock last week, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, 5 weeks ago. That's the play. Now it seems like a lot more options are on the table, and maybe that's how it should have been all along, although we spruce it up a little bit, and it will be Graham at 5 after all is said and done. 888-710-4ISN Bulletin Blitz coming up. Plenty more on the draft to get into. Plenty more of me complaining about a basketball team none of you care about. All that and more. Hey, if we did an hour on the Bulls last week, I can do a segment or two on the Bucks.
Fair enough.
I think that's more than fair. 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Like a drove, finds Trocheck. Back out to Barkley. Good throw. It's got it. Barkley, good throw in overtime.
The biggest voices in sports.
You're asking me dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus. We done? Thank you.
The heartbreak.
Edmonton will finish +5 in goal differential, but without a Stanley Cup to celebrate. A devastating loss for Edmonton, an exhilarating win for Florida.
The celebrations.
A dream 30 years in the making.
Yeah!
Is it real?
Yeah!
The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
It is
the Bullets and Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, only on the Infinity Sports Network. It is Tuesday, April 22nd.
Was my mic on?
Yes, 2025. I don't know what the hell that was, but it's about time I got a hockey open involved in rotation here for some Bullets and Blitz stuff, so... good to hear all those respective calls.
You're like dangerously close to putting in an 8-hour work day.
Yeah, God, heaven forbid, because I certainly like to work smarter, not harder. And when I say work smarter, I mean do as little as possible. Well, here is a we'll do some football stuff despite playing a hockey open. Let's start with the Titans. New general manager, Mike Bergonzi. He's getting the number one pick. Fun for him. Presumably... all signs point where it's going to be Cam Ward. So, he talked about what he learned about Cam Ward during the draft process.
You know, the competitive edge that he has, you can feel that talking with the kid. He's very intelligent. You know, we've had him on the board several times with Brian. And just, you know, the family. He comes from a great family as well.
I think that everybody feels pretty good about him being the number one pick. I'm not sure anybody... is Cam Ward turning the Titans into a Super Bowl contender? No. I mean, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and when you're a quarterback needy team, you should take a quarterback, but I don't know. And we just talked Jaguars, and I keep comparing him to Trevor Lawrence because I do think there's going to be less pressure with nobody watching Titans games, honestly. Which will buy him some more time to succeed, but I don't know. I'm eager to see him play. I'm eager to see him get drafted, but this doesn't feel like the can't miss year, even with one guy. Although a lot of people are coming around to your boy's take on quarterbacks, which we will dive into coming up in just a few moments.
Yeah, and more Cam Ward on Titans thoughts a little later in Caller Fold. I got something I want to add into that as well. The Browns look like they're going to be passing on a quarterback at two. It really seems like Travis Hunter could be the pick for Cleveland, maybe Abdul Carter, but it seems like Shador will be available for the Giants at three should they want to go quarterback. Andrew Berry, though, might be tipping his hand. He's still talking about quarterbacks, but this one he calls Jalen Milroe a physical freak.
You know, Jalen, he's got rare physical talent. You know, he may be the only, when he gets in the NFL, he may be the only quarterback who's faster than Lamar. Don't tell Lamar I said that, please. He's got rare physical gifts. You know, he's strong, he's fast, he's got a really strong arm. And any system that you build around him, you want to take advantage of the fact that he has things that no other players at the position have.
It's all game, folks. Not only are we going to try to figure out who's taken who in the first round, but the Browns have pick number one in round number two. And if they're talking highly on Jalen Milroe and they have not taken a quarterback in round one, well, then if you want Jalen Milroe, you better be trading up to pick number 33 and maybe the Browns can get a little more capital there. So a lot of gamesmanship being done, you know, and depending on your mock draft, you see Milroe all over the place, late one, middle two, mid three. Quarterbacks are gonna go. Quarterbacks always go. Quarterbacks are going to go. Again, more on that coming up in just a few minutes.
Side note: if you have the ability to go watch the Dodgers and the Cubs right now, this game is drunk. It is 10-10 going into extra innings. So just, you know.
I saw a big caravan of Dodger fans strolling down.
Oh yeah,
it was Sheffield or whatever street that is.
Yeah, definitely an invasion of Dodgers fans. Let's get one more in here because this is pretty interesting. Here's general manager John Lynch for the 49ers, and we all know we love our 49ers here in Bart Winkler Show. He reacts to Brock Purdy showing up to voluntary workouts despite not being having a new contract in place.
Just that's Brock. You know, he's a pro, and he's you know, he's gonna. Brock's got a. He's a very clear-minded and not going to let other people influence like what he should be doing. And it's one thing everybody, I think, respects about Brock. He's done a lot for this organization, and we're grateful for him and looking forward to having him as our quarterback for a long time.
So do the Niners just do this every year now, where they, like, they're going to extend the guy, they just draw it out as long as possible? What are we doing?
They're taking the Jerry Jones Cowboys playbook. Literally, yeah. Just stay in the news cycle.
The Niners are everything you think the Cowboys are. The Niners are.
It's literally, yeah. Dallas West.
Are we like on the gray area here?
Oh, I did say that was the last one.
Oh.
Matter of fact, when I said, all right, let's get one more in here, that's your cue that, hey, this is the last sound.
I was looking at this report that apparently someone thinks Giannis is going to the Nets. And somebody else tweeted that they think Doc Rivers was sent by Adam Silver to Milwaukee to sabotage the Bucks so that they could get Giannis out of that market.
Yeah, just like Dave Gettleman coming to the Giants.
Which, you know, stranger things, I guess. Your boy's take is being picked up. Four quarterbacks first round. More next.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.